Hello and welcome to the OnPIP podcast, a weekly discussion on key trends in investment and economic policy from some of the world's leading commentators. On this week's episode, we talk about the ECB monetary policy decision taking place on the 12th of September. This is Marcin Stepan from London, and today we'll talk to Marcel Frascher, president of the German Institute for Economic Research in Berlin, and Sylvia Dell'Angelo, senior economist at Hermes Investment Management. Thank you for joining us today. Looking at the key decisions being made next week, we have, if we look at the first, the economic outlook for Europe, and what do you expect, both Marcel and Sylvia, that the ECB Council will be looking at? We have reports that Germany, Italy, and UK are on the brink of recession, poor manufacturing numbers, confidence levels in business seem to be quite low, and the economy is on the brink of recession. Is that true? Is that the case, Marcel?
Well, we have seen a massive economic slowdown in the euro area, but overall in the European Union for a number of reasons, mainly the global trade conflict, slower growth globally weighing on Europe, but also many homemade problems, including the Brexit mess. A big uncertainty about Italy. So clearly we see the slowdown, and my even bigger worry is that even though the outlook might not be so negative, I'm actually cautiously optimistic about Europe. Europe has a lot of potential. It's not exploiting at the moment. Still many unemployed people, young people who are well-skilled. But my main concern is that the risk I pointed to the downside very clearly. And now to the question of what the ECB will look at, it's clearly it will look at the economic outlook, which they will now provide their new projections, their quarterly projections. I fear they probably will have again revised it downward slightly. But for the European Central Bank, equally important, of course, is the inflation outlook. The ECB has a primary mandate, that's price stability. The last few months have seen a further decline in the inflation expectations. Both price-based, market-based indicators, in particular the five-year forward, five-year out indicator, but also survey-based expectations. And that's ultimately will be as important, if not more important, for the ECB, is the question, will it manage to meet its inflation objective over the medium term? And currently it's further apart or further away from hitting that objective than any time before.
Thank you. Sylvia, would you agree here?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm probably a bit more cautious about the Eurozone outlook than Marcel, given that, in my opinion, external tensions and in particular the trade tensions are likely, if anything, to persist and to get even worse down the road. The prospects of the agreement between the US and China are quite low, and there's also the possibility that the US will target auto imports with high tariffs. That would be a big problem for the Eurozone, where the auto sector is quite relevant. Of course, as Marcel said, the ECB has like a single mandate, which is defined in terms of inflation. And while it has a big problem, it has basically missed its inflation target for a very long time. At its last forecasting round in June, the ECB projected inflation in 2 years to be at 1.6%, so well below its target. And there is a risk that at this new round of forecast, the ECB will have to revise that point, the inflation point, lower. So I think that the ECB will probably revise it down to 1.5%, meaning that the undershooting will be the largest since September 2017, again, according to the ECB forecast. And of course, one big problem for the Eurozone economy is that it tends to over-rely on external demand. And this slowdown, the synchronized slowdown in the manufacturing sector globally, has really exposed some, I think, domestic issues for the Eurozone, where basically consumption and business investments are still quite subdued, especially in core countries, I would say. And well, in this field, there's little the ECB can do. And I think that among other things, the ECB will probably urge other policymakers to make their part.
Marcel, how concerned should we be about the reports about Germany being on the brink of recession and some of the poor numbers that we have coming out of there?
Well, Germany is in recession as we speak, at least in a technical recession. We had the second quarter, the German economy was shrinking. The third quarter, very, very likely, we will see another 0.2, 0.3% contraction in the size of the German economy. So the technical recession is there. We, with our projections for next year, are cautiously optimistic. So we have around about 1.4, 1.5% growth for Germany next year. So a significant recovery from 0.5, 0.6% this year. Now, this hinges on many important assumptions, and the most important assumptions being there are no escalation of the trade conflict, that Trump will not pick on Europe. It hinges on the assumption that Italy will stay stable and not blow up economically or politically. It also hinges on the assumption that Brexit will not be a major disruption to the euro area, in particular German economy. So these are very strong assumptions. And Germany, unlike many other countries or Germany's economy, is very open. Almost half of our GDP is exports. Almost every second job hinges on exports, directly or indirectly. And so, to me, the big question is not the German economy itself. Domestically, consumer demand is very strong. We have record employment, record low unemployment. Firms are competitive. The German government has huge surpluses, probably of around about 1.5% of GDP for 2019. So the substance of the German economy is sound, but Germany is just a lot more exposed to external shocks and to many of these external shocks I described than most other countries and economies.
Sylvia, as an investor, how much concern is this to you?
Well, Germany is the engine of the Eurozone, so clearly a recession in Germany would have like significant consequences for the rest of the Eurozone and, let's say, for European assets in general. So clearly these possibilities of a recession in Germany are quite concerning.
If we take a look in that case, for what would you expect the ECB to do next week? What are some of the tools that they could apply at this stage, Marcel?
Well, first of all, the European Central Bank, when they meet next week Thursday for the Governing Council meeting, they will want to surprise positively. So they don't want to disappoint markets and companies. So I expect that there will be a package including a cut in the deposit rate, possibly by 20 basis points from -0.4 to -0.6%. Much of that is already priced into the markets and from survey expectations, we see that as well. I expect the second element to be forward guidance that makes clear rates are going to stay low for much longer. Now, on the third and possibly most important element, namely a revival of QE, of asset purchases, I'm doubtful. I think the ECB will make an announcement and some kind of give some kind of prospect and perspective that this might happen. But I think they will not dare to implement or commit at this point, mainly because we have a turnover of the ECB presidency. Christine Lagarde will come in on the 1st of November. And I would see it as very difficult if the outgoing governing council or the outgoing president of Mario Draghi now basically tie her hands by presenting a finalized and finished package. So from that perspective, I think there will be concrete measures in form of a package, but they will keep the options open, at least some options open to do more in the future.
Sylvia, how much would you agree here with Marcel?
Well, I also think that ECB will provide a package of easing measures, including a new round of QE. Of course, the package approach has been quite typical in the Draghi's era for two reasons. First of all, because there has been an erosion of conventional monetary policy space, meaning that the ECB, like other central banks, had to resort to unconventional tools. And of course, there is also this idea that different measures are complementary and mutually self-reinforcing. So I think there's a strong case, again, to go down the route of a package. So it could probably include, as Marcel said, a small rate cut going further into negative territory. It would probably include some, it would possibly include some measure to mitigate the negative side effects of negative rates, especially on bank profitability. It would probably include a resumption of QE, even though it might be a small program at this stage. And also, I think it will include some strengthening of forward guidance, which is probably the easiest thing to do, given that QE is quite controversial, judging by some recent commentary by ECB officials. Going a bit into more detail, I think that there's really a case for a small rate cut at this stage. First of all, because I think that once we are in negative territory, the impact of an additional rate cut on the real economy is quite ambiguous. There's probably a reversal rate at some point around, in negative territory, where basically the impact from lower rates would actually be negative on business investment and consumption. And so I think the ECB will try to be cautious here. The other point, again, on interest rates is that the ECB has limited space. So at this stage, a small rate cut would be more of a signaling move, suggesting that the ECB is committed to its target and is ready to do more down the road if needed. As for QE, clearly there's a lot of uncertainty about the size of the program and also whether there will be an actual beginning of a new program. At the margin, I still think that there will be some announcements on QE. At the moment, market expectations are around 30 billion per month for at least 9 months. So I think that the ECB will try to match those expectations. Of course, I think that it's probably more important the persistence of a QE program rather than its size, as at this stage, the ECB probably wants more coordination between monetary and fiscal policy, and it probably wants to ensure easy monetary conditions in order to give more fiscal space to government to make targeted spending in order to boost investment, both in particular public investment.
Marcel, it's quite critical or doubtful that QE will be revived at this stage. At what point are you expecting QE to come back into force? Are you saying from next week or further at some point later this year?
I think that there will be an announcement next week. The start of the actual program could be later in the year. But again, I think the ECB officials are quite aware of market expectations, and they probably don't want to disappoint financial markets too much. Draghi and the recent minutes have explicitly mentioned this possibility of QE, and therefore I think that eventually they will deliver. Among other things, I think that the work of the relevant ECB committees is also relevant in determining the conditions of the next QE program, as they will probably come up with some solutions in order to go around some scarcity issues, which will probably be relevant for the purchases of some sovereign bonds, in particular German sovereign bonds.
Marcel, would you like to comment here?
Well, you know, it's I agree with many of the elements. I think my worry is that monetary policy itself will not be the big game changer. Yes, there is some room for rate cuts and for a package that will make it easier for banks to lend and for companies and households to borrow. But we must not forget that monetary policy really has very little room to maneuver. And the crucial question to me is much more on the fiscal side. Will fiscal authorities, will governments agree to change course and increase spending to stabilize the economy all over Europe? This, of course, applies in particular to Germany. I mentioned earlier on, the German government has a huge fiscal surplus. Until recently, the policy position was, no, we're not going to spend it as long as the German economy is not in a deep recession. Well, not deep recession, but in a recession. As I said before as well, Germany's economy is in recession. And to me, the crucial issue is not so much what the ECB or other monetary authorities, including the Fed, will do, but when will there be a change of mind among policymakers, among politicians, among treasuries in Europe? And that, for me, will be crucial. And I think we need a big fiscal stimulus to, first of all, act early, because many of these often fiscal stimulus takes time to work. If you have now a big investment program, which we would need in Germany quite urgently, an investment program takes time. I mean, you don't see big effects until 1 or 2 years out. In other ways, you can cut taxes, have tax incentives. So there are ways to do it. But to me, it's really high time for fiscal authorities to spend more to provide a fiscal stimulus. And that would nicely complement the little room that monetary authorities have.
So we're saying that effectively monetary policy is losing its steam or losing its power. To what extent can sort of central banks, have they been doing whatever it takes? Is not sufficient enough at the moment for Europe?
Well, monetary policy cannot prevent recessions or ensure revival of an economy. Central banks can't create jobs. The job of central banks is to provide liquidity, to assume liquidity risks. That's what central banks are very good at, and they showed that during the global financial crisis and the European crisis, and have been very effective in ensuring stability. But they have very limited tools to deal with recessions, and that's what we often forget. And what I find really difficult is that we see this populism and nationalism all over Europe, which has a very strong element of bashing the central bank. And we see that in particular here in Germany. I expect a big outcry after the next ECB decision. The view in Germany is, oh, this is terrible what the ECB is doing. Interest rates are too low. Savers don't get any savings on their, or no interest on their savings account. The ECB should change course. At the same time, the government is benefiting big time from low interest rates. 30-year German bunds, government bonds, are negative territory. So the government is receiving money for that. So we really need to resolve that conflict between monetary policy and fiscal policy. Policymakers, politicians need to be aware of what central banks can and what they cannot do. And they need to be told very clearly, look, don't expect the ECB or the Bank of England or the Fed to save your day. You have to act if you want to avoid a recession and counteract the global slowdown.
Sylvia, so clearly from Marcel, we hear that central banks are not the only game in town, certainly a call for fiscal action. As an investor, is that what you'd also like to hear? Is that what you'd like to see from politicians and governments?
Absolutely. Monetary policy is clearly a suboptimal approach to trying to fix the growth malaise in developed countries and in the Eurozone in particular. I think that there has been an over-reliance on monetary policy. It has been the only game in town, while monetary policy cannot really address some structural issues. We know that in developed countries, and in particular in the Eurozone, productivity growth is very low. It's quite depressed. So in the Eurozone, we have seen like 0.5% growth in productivity in the last 5 years, and actually recent prints have been even lower. On top of that, we have poor prospects for demographics, which means that trend growth is quite depressed for the Eurozone. It's probably no higher than 0.5%, meaning that the low speed, implying a low speed limit for economic growth in the region. And well, I think monetary policy is a useful tool in order to smooth out the business cycle, but really cannot address these structural issues. And at this stage, we really need a mix of targeted fiscal policies and structural reforms. I think the plan here from the central bank perspective, from the ECB perspective, is really to enable fiscal policy to create more space for fiscal spending. But really, it's high time for government to pick up the challenge. For the Eurozone, it is particularly hard, I'd say, because we know that fiscal policy is more effective when there's like a coordination across the Eurozone. But at the moment, there's really no framework, common fiscal framework to allow for that. And so it's also up to the next European Commission to be more creative, to work out some ways to really provide some fiscal stimulus in a targeted way, and also possibly combining that with structural reform. So it's very clear that, that the political capital is there, but in an ideal world, that's the way to go.
Marcel, you mentioned before, obviously, with Christine Lagarde coming in as new ECB president, and the discussion clearly is you have a very tall order to be able to deal with, given the limited tools and the need for further fiscal action. What should be her priorities, and what are her sort of challenges that you'd expect Christine Lagarde to face on, and how can she take this on?
I think she faces two big challenges as ECB president. One is first to maintain stability. So the transition from Mario Draghi to her, I mean, that's always not an easy task. The executive board at the European Central Bank is almost completely new, or will be new. There's a new chief economist, Benoît Cœuré, the French member, I believe, at the end of the year. So she has basically to find a way to smooth the transition. As we discussed, yes, the ECB can do something, and I'm sure she has also indicated in the hearing at the European Parliament that she will continue to support an expansionary monetary policy stance. But I see as the main challenge for her in the short run really one of communication, of explaining what the ECB is doing, what it can do and cannot do. So she will have a challenge to help resolve this conflict between the political side and the ECB. I think that's one of her strengths. She is a great communicator. Now, in the long run, clearly the ECB, like all other central banks, need to think about their strategy and policy instruments. The Fed has started to review its strategy. I'm quite certain the European Central Bank will do the same under Christine Lagarde to say, is that still the right mandate? Price stability be defined below but close to 2% over the medium term, so a very ambitious tool. What instruments do we want to use? These are important questions, and that won't happen quickly, but I think she will start, and she needs to start that process of reviewing the strategy.
Sylvia, what would you like to see? What would you expect to see from Christine Lagarde's presidency?
So I basically expect continuity from Christine Lagarde as ECB president. And I think that yesterday, during her testimony to the European Parliament, we got a flavor of that. So she basically praised the ECB's action so far. She supported the current monetary policy strategy, including the use of unconventional monetary policy. She also endorsed basically a continuation of an accommodative stance in light of downside risks to the economy and low inflation. However, and I found that interesting, she also stressed financial stability risk due to the use of unconventional monetary policy. Of course, she also seemed to favor, again, a macroprudential approach in order to deal with those financial stability risks. But nonetheless, that's also that's interesting. And I think it seems to be linked with her willingness to basically go down the way of a review of strategy and tools of the ECB. And I think that's something that needs to happen. And I mean, yesterday she sounded quite open to it. The other challenge that she faces is really about allowing for, well, urging, I would say, other policymakers and in particular governments to basically do their part. As we said earlier, monetary policy cannot be the only game in town. And I think Christine Lagarde will try to involve more governments. Yesterday, she said that central banks do not act in a vacuum, and she called for more cooperation with legislators and the public in general. So I think that that's like one of the challenges she faces.
Great, thank you. As we're wrapping up our podcast, perhaps we've got September starting in an intensive few months ahead of us. Marcel, if I turn to you, and if you'd like to comment a little bit on some of the key political developments that we have happening in Europe. We've got a new Italian government, there's a new commission coming into play, Brexit, as you mentioned, and the continuing saga of the Gilets jaunes in France. What are your key concerns and things that you'll be looking out for the coming months?
Well, first of all, I think many of the changes are positive, right? So a new commission coming in, Ursula von der Leyen, the prospective commission president, to me has made all the right noises and set the right priorities. She's forming a very strong team. Most of the candidates are now quite clear who they will be. She has set new priorities. Climate is much bigger on the agenda. So I think many of these changes are positive. I think France, President Macron is back in control, is continuing his reform path. So I don't just want to see the negative elements and the risks, and clearly there are plenty of them. But I think it's very important to also develop a new narrative. Yes, risks are enormous, but we must not forget, compared to the US, the euro area and the EU as a whole is only halfway in its recovery in terms of length of the recovery, in terms of magnitude of GDP growth. As I said at the beginning of the podcast, Europe has a huge potential. It's not tapping yet. Many countries have done tough reforms over the past 5 years. So the big question to me is, will policymakers, will governments manage to now exploit those reforms, exploit that potential? My hope is that after Brexit and many of the other conflicts with the US and with China, Europe will move closer together and realize that we need more cooperation. So I want to end on an optimistic note. Yes, with all the risks and all the dangers that there are, we shouldn't forget the upside.
Thank you for that certainly positive tone. Sylvia, what can markets learn from Marcel's positivity here?
Well, I have to say that financial markets have been quite positive recently, despite all the negative news on trade tariffs and Brexit risk and political risk in general. Well, we are already, I think we are still, especially in equity markets, running at quite elevated levels. I think that there are still downside risks, despite the positives that Marcel mentioned. And therefore, looking forward, I'm quite cautious.
Wonderful. On that note, thank you for joining us. It's been great to speak to you on the ECB monetary policy decision that's taking place on 12th September. We discussed the economic outlook for Europe, tools at the disposal of the ECB to counter potential recession downturn, prospects for starting or restarting QE, challenges that Christine Lagarde faces as the new head of the ECB, as well as political developments in Europe that markets and policymakers should be aware of. If you've enjoyed the program, then please do leave us comments and follow us on your OnFifth channel. We are now on iTunes and Spotify. We release podcasts every Tuesday. Thanks.